Wow. Good morning, everyone. I am so thankful you're here and so grateful to be with you this morning. And I just want to start us off with a brief prayer as we enter the day. Holy Father, we are so thankful that we are your women. Lord, thank you for the love that you pour out on us. Thank you that we can gather here together as women and worship you and worship together and be together, Lord. We just pray for the day ahead of us. Lord, I know that you are going to do mighty things because you are a mighty God. We love you and we praise you, Father. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So this morning, I'm going to talk to us just a little bit about being embodied as women and the power of being spiritual family. The gift of the gospel isn't just that we get brought back to God, but that we are blessed with a new context of family. And for us as women in particular, we're blessed to be spiritual mothers, to be spiritual daughters, to be spiritual sisters. And we see in the beginning, in Genesis 1, where the foundation of our dignity as women flows from. In Genesis 1, 26 and 27, we can read, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." As women, we image God in beautiful and unique ways that are meant to point to him, that are meant to help us see him more clear. But sadly, many of us struggle to see the beauty and the complexity and the uniqueness and the gift that being a woman is. Culture, as Leslie shared with us last night, has done a wonderful job of giving us an unrealistic picture, a dotted line version, if you will, of what women are supposed to be, from what size we're supposed to be, to what we're supposed to wear, to what we're supposed to do. It primarily focuses on outward things. And this is not what God intended. And the other thing is that culture constantly moves what that dotted line is. And so we have this worldly version of women that does not look at all like what God intended. And what this has done is not only can it draw us away from God, but it can lead to a fair amount of confusion and anger and despair and hopelessness. In the book, A Brief Theology of Periods, Rachel Jung tells it this way: "Nothing we read or watch or listen to is ideologically neutral. It's all subtly, or not so subtly, telling us how to think and how to act. So if we're not proactive about thinking Christianly about a subject, then we'll just end up having our thinking shaped by what the world tells us. My hope is that we will look to God's word and believe that we have been uniquely embodied to image him. In Psalm 139, 13 through 16, a scripture that will be familiar to a lot of us, but maybe not everyone, so it's a beautiful scripture. "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Many times when we're reading the scripture, we think about it from the standpoint of babies being formed in a woman's womb, and that's really great. But let's stop for a moment and think about the fact that when David was talking to God about this, he was talking as a grown man, recognizing that his body had been given to him carefully and thoughtfully by God. He praises God for being fearfully and wonderfully made. He sees the gift of the body that God gave him. So I wonder if we genuinely believed that if our bodies were gifts from God, if that would change the way we feel about our bodies. In the book Wonderfully Made, John W. Kleinig says this beautifully. We cannot appreciate the complexity, beauty, and mystery of the human body unless we realize that it was given to us. We do not make bodies. They are made for us. They are provided for us with all their main characteristics. We receive them as a gift. So let me tell you, I have struggled with body image for as far back as I can remember. And I mean that. I remember being 8 and thinking my body wasn't the right shape. I was in my late 30s and maybe even in my early 40s before I admitted the unhealthy relationship I had with my body. I was obsessed with exercise and every bite of food I put in my mouth, because I was trying to achieve culture's version of what a woman was supposed to be like. This was not rooted in my identity in Christ and who he says I am. And it was not rooted in the fact that I, as a woman, am an image bearer of God. That hit me square in the face. It hit me square in the face that I had made my body an idol. It was a sobering realization. But one I am so thankful the Lord brought me face to face with. And it helped me realize that there is a fine line between stewarding our bodies well, which we should do. Our bodies are gifts. We should steward them well. Our female bodies work in amazing ways and represent the bringing forth of life and the sustaining of life. Our bodies are uniquely designed to represent the creator of life. So as women, we must walk in discernment and in wisdom and carefully weigh the ways the world is telling us we could be better. Because it is good and right to take care of your body. It is good and right to make sure you're getting enough rest and exercise and eating healthily. All those things are good things unless they distract us from who we are in God and in who he is. This is where we need wisdom and discernment. This is where I find help. In 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16. Therefore, preparing your minds for action, be sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. A reminder that we are holy as he is holy is a reminder that God gets the final word on who we are as women. Not whatever dotted line version of women that culture happens to be throwing at us on any given day. The world changes that version. God never does. This is reassuring, and I hope gives us strength for every season and phase in our lives. Luke 1:50 tells us, "And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation." Knowing that God's mercy is with us from generation to generation should give us hope for every season and stage that we walk through. All of us in this room are in different seasons and stages of life. I love, as I look across this room, that I see very young girls and I see women my age. I've gone through enough in my life that I have learned that the different seasons and stages that I have gone through have taught me. They have strengthened me. They've helped build resilience in me. But that only happens when I keep my eyes on Jesus and I find my identity in him. Not long ago, I heard someone say that they were so angry with God, they couldn't even pray. They were in a season in their life where they were dealing with a loved one going through a really hard physical battle, and that battle was not getting better. They had illness after illness, and a friend wanted to pray with them, and they were like, "I am just too angry with God right now to pray." And I know I've been there. But he stopped and he said, "Wait a minute. Am I letting my anger dictate my actions? Or am I letting my faith dictate my hope?" And I took a deep breath and took that in. But I broadened that question because as a woman, I have to ask myself, do I let my emotions, good or bad, dictate my actions? Or do I let my faith dictate my hope? And I saw this question played out many years ago when a family in the church we were in at the time lost their son in a tragic car accident. This young man was a brilliant, kind, loving young man. He was a leader in our youth group. He had a college career ahead of him that most likely would have landed as a professional golf career. He was a truly remarkable young man, and I loved him dearly. And suddenly, my husband and I found ourselves in a situation where we had to choose faith and let that dictate our hope as we wrestled with the loss and the pain and the confusion and even anger and not understanding why this was happening. But more than that, we had a youth group of 60 kids watching us and leaning on us and needing to see that even in the midst of deep pain, you could choose faith and let it dictate your hope. And not only that, we watched this young man's mom over and over choose faith and let it dictate her hope. And it was not that she was not vulnerable with her pain, because she let us into her pain and see her pain. But she modeled for our church, and because this loss was so public, because he was so well known, she modeled that for people who did not know Jesus. So the question I ask myself, and I want to ask you, is do we let our emotions dictate our actions, or do we let our faith dictate our hope? And I know that too many times I let my emotions dictate my hope, my actions, instead of letting faith dictate my hope. But I have to remember and rest in knowing that if I keep my eyes on Jesus, he will carry me through whatever I'm walking in the moment. And John 16:33 is a good reminder of this, and I'm not going to read the whole scripture, but I'm going to hit the high points. In this world, we will have tribulation. We don't get out of that. But in that same scripture, we also know that we can take heart because Jesus has overcome the world. And so when I rest in that, I can know that my Father sees what I'm going through, and he's going to bring me through whatever I'm dealing with. This is why, as I talked at the beginning about spiritual family, why it's so important for us to remember and realize and walk as spiritual sisters and do life together. We learn the beauty of being women, both in times of celebration and in times of hardship. So I want to share the stories of a couple of women in my life as a young woman who were spiritual mothers to me. Their names are Nellie and Phyllis. These women imaged God in every circumstance of their lives. Nellie and Phyllis were in my life from the time I was a young mom with little bitty kids in my house until my kids were young adults. Both of these women were spiritual mothers, not just to me, but to many women in the church that the church family I was a part of. Both of these women appeared to have culture's dotted line version of life down pat. And that was true. They both had wonderful lives. But what was also very true about both of these women is that they both fought debilitating illness the entire time that I knew them. Nellie was diagnosed with cancer as a very young mom and also as a very new Christian. It was a grim diagnosis, and she prayed to God that he would allow her to raise her children. And he did that and more. She actually welcomed grandchildren into her home. Phyllis had an autoimmune disease that caused her pain every day of her life. But she also battled social anxiety that constantly tried to keep her isolated. And Phyllis also battled cancer later in her life. Phyllis and I spent many hours talking about the games that Satan tries to play with us when we're struggling. And because she allowed me to see her at her most vulnerable, she also allowed me to come after her when she was struggling and wanting to be isolated. Me, the younger woman, she let me speak into her life and remind her when she needed to hear it most that God loved her and he needed her and he had a plan for her. These women lived emotionally and physically challenging lives that would have made many women step back and give up, but they did not. What I remember most about Nellie and Phyllis was the joy they faced life with and their willingness to lead other women to Christ simply by sharing their lives with others. They welcomed me into their life because they understood the importance of modeling the unique ways women image God. I was privileged to learn from both of these women. I was privileged to walk with both of them through some hard and challenging times. And I share this with you because Nellie and Phyllis were such an example for me as a young woman that we will all have storms we go through. We're many of us in this room in a storm right now. And some of these storms are particularly unique to us as women, but also some of these storms are just longings for good things or wounds from things that should have been good or trials that we never thought we would go through. As an older woman in this room, I can testify that with Jesus, we can weather storms and come out stronger on the other side. But I can also tell you, as an older woman in this room, we don't ever get to retire from being embodied women on this earth. We need you. Sorry. And my 86-year-old mom taught me this last week. She lives in an assisted living situation, which she loves, by the way, because she's around people all the time, and she loves that because she likes to talk all the time. But she shared a story with me about a man that she noticed in the dining room whose hands were shaking so bad he could not eat. He had been sick, and he was very weak, and she waited until most everybody left the dining room because she didn't want to embarrass him. And she went to his table and asked him if she could help him eat his breakfast. And he let her feed him his whole breakfast. And it just reminded me that no matter what age we are, as women, we still need to see what's going on around us. We can still pour out our lives. And we need to pour out our lives. And older women in this room, our younger sisters, our spiritual daughters, need to see us. They need to know that the trials we've come through because Jesus brought us through them. But I will also tell you, as an older woman, I am so grateful for the younger women in my life, because I learned far more from them than I could ever pass on. So we need each other. Please know that whatever season you're in, God is with you. You are not alone. We are with you. I am praying, and I'm not the only one. Many prayers have been prayed for renewed strength, for healing where there are wounds, for strength and renewed joy where things seem hopeless. So I'm asking you, and I am praying that you will not leave this room today without praying with your sisters. We're a spiritual family. We need to be for each other. And I'm also praying that you do not listen to the lies that Satan will try to feed us as women, that we're the only one going through what we're going through and we're supposed to be isolated. That is not from God. That is a lie from Satan. I'm praying that you do not believe it today. I'm praying for the courage. And it takes real courage to be vulnerable and let people into your life. But I'm praying for that courage today. Please pray with the women around you today. Please let today be a beginning, if it needs to be, of you letting your sisters walk with you with whatever you're going through. I want to read one more scripture, and then I'll pray over us as we move into the rest of the day. This is from Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Pray with me, please. Holy, loving, merciful Father, we thank you that we as women, Lord, are your image bearers. Thank you for creating us fearfully and wonderfully. Lord, I pray for the women in this room and the women who will be touched beyond this room because of this weekend, Lord. I pray, Father, that your voice will be the louder voice in our heads as we face each day. I pray, Father, that where there are wounds, that there would be healing. I pray, Father, that where there are doubts or questions, that you would meet those doubts and those questions with your love and your mercy and your grace. And I pray, Lord, that we truly believe that you are our Heavenly Father, that you are who you say you are, and you can do what you say you can do. And Lord, help us to believe that we are who you say we are. Father, we love you. Lord, we just lift up this day to you. I pray, Lord, that many women in this room will have a renewed strength and faith and hope in you today. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.